Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
It's early on Friday morning. I hope you're right. This is Scott. Chris and the team are back on Monday. Still no Becky today. She has got a big face again, so she's not in. Hi, Matt Edmondson.
Hello.
Now, I know I'm keeping you from potentially sleep at the moment, so I won't keep you long. Now, thanks for coming along to the one-man show preview yesterday.
The what?
The one-man show preview.
Sorry, how many?
Okay, right. So, yes, there is more than one person in it.
Well, there are three.
There are three.
Yeah.
But then they've got masks on.
They have got masks on, but they're still there. That's like a one-man show. Surely the beauty of a one-man show. If you're like Bernie Clifton, right?
You Hello? Can...
You know Bernie Clifton? He's a bloke with the ostrich. Wears, like, ostrich legs. Him.
Oh, yeah.
If you turn up to a gig, it's you and some ostrich legs, and then you're away. That's it. You just turn up. I'm here. Just a one-man show. Just going to go on now. There's no faff. You have to get two people, and not any old two people, two people who know some quite exotic and, in some places, terrible dance routines.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the problem.
That's a three-man show.
See, I think it's ahead of its time, and soon everyone will be doing one-man shows with three people in.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay, have you got a sort of a date for this?
I don't know.
When's it going to happen in the future?
Well, so apart from that, you've thought, I mean, obviously it was it's rough, it's raw at the moment, and we did set it up before we performed by saying, look, everybody, this isn't going to be much cop because we've still got a week away from doing the actual show, but you think that it will all come together on the night? Or
yeah, listen, I like it rough, okay? It was good. It was a strong performance from you, I thought.
I was holding back on the singing just because I know you and I know Edith, and you lot were in the front row, and there was a bloke from the Daily Star there who just was expressionless, and I was like, oh God. And a lady from the News of the World kind of walked in halfway through. See, when it's Radio 1 listeners, I'll be looking right in the whites of their eyes.
Yeah, but eye contact, bit of a cheeky wink at one or two of them.
But to be honest, yesterday I was nervous. I was really nervous.
Do you know what? I don't blame you. It was kind of weird. It's probably better when it's a bigger audience, you know, because it was sort of just a very light room.
Yeah, full of media people that don't generally express anything.
Yeah, no stage.
No stage.
There was a lamp that represented a pillar.
Yes.
Which was good. I like that. That was a nice feature, nice touch. I was thinking, of all the props they've gone for, why have they gone for that really awful light? Like, what is? I've seen The Bourne Identity. That isn't in the film at any point. Well, what's he going to do with that?
Yeah, it's kind of like a quite cheap light that, because we know that in the space that we're doing the show in Edinburgh, there is a massive pillar there, which obviously...
That's poor design.
But we'll get in the way on the night. So we have to kind of have a makeshift pillar so we know not to crash into it, which is quite hard when obviously the one that doesn't speak and Rob the Boss are wearing masks, and they do crash into the rubbish lamp quite a lot. And obviously when we get to Edinburgh, that would be them crashing into the pillar. So that's why that's there.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. But I thought it was really good. Have you had vocal coaching? Have you ever done this sort of thing before?
No, surprisingly not, as you could probably hear. However, you know the lady that does the voice coaching on X Factor? Evie Burnett.
Yeah.
I sent a tweet out the other day going, can't even hold a note. And then she sent one back going, oh, of course you can, my dear. But that didn't really help because I said, well, come around to my house and teach me. Or no, I'll come to you, whatever, love. But she's doing America's Got Talent at the moment. So
that's terrible.
She's in LA, man.
She does work with the best. And Leon Jackson for a short while as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, well, at least you thought it was kind of all right. And like I said, it was rough, raw, not quite ready.
I thought the script was great. I think it's really funny. And obviously, you were nervous, you weren't giving it your all, but I reckon that's got West End Transfer written all over it.
Right, okay. A UK tour, maybe?
Yeah, well, obviously the UK tour would come later. Do the West End run,
yeah.
5 or 6 years when it's getting a bit sort of tiresome,
yeah.
Take it on the road, get a former member of Blue in to play the role, because you don't want to be out on the role.
No, I don't.
Get Anthony Costa in or someone. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he looks like you, that's not a slant on your appearance. Uh-huh. I'm just saying get him in, he's probably available,
yeah.
And then he can take the show on the road.
That's what they do, isn't it? Because Duncan from Blue was in Legally Blonde the Musical recently.
That's right. But he was West End. He was West End, whereas Anthony gets the one that goes up to Bognor. Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh. Who was the other one? Oh, and then in Legally Blonde, Duncan left and was replaced by Richard Fleischman off Coronation Street.
No way.
Yes, way.
Oh, dear.
So the
we'll have to cancel those tickets.
Possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
But thanks for coming along, Matt, yesterday.
Hey, literally a pleasure. Loved it.
Thank you.
Radio 1 podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Yesterday I was talking about how I am a bit obsessed with large bottles of shampoo and shower gel and mouthwash and stuff because, like, the sizes in this country are too small. I'm not that weird because two people, that's right, two have been on saying that they're the same. Rebecca in London says, I heard you talk about this yesterday. First thing I do when I go on holiday to America is go to the supermarket and buy, like, massive bottles of shampoo, shower gel. Exactly, much better. Sometimes I wish I lived in America just so I can get my hands on those huge sizes. You don't get it, do you, when they don't speak? It's so much better. Also, Aid has been on, originally from Stourbridge, now lives in China, saying, you can indeed get 1 litre mouthwash in China. I can't tell you how excited I was to get my first one when I moved here. Yeah. See, I would be all over that. 1 litre mouthwash. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Don't look at me like I'm weird.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, a nice lady called Cara's been on, off of Brighton, and Cara got married recently, and she emailed me and asked me if I would do them, like, a wedding message for her and her husband, Stephen, so that they could play it out on the day. So it's like, hello, Scott Mills here. I'd like to wish Cara off of Brighton and Stephen all the very best for your wedding day. Have a great one and a nice life together. I do quite a lot of those sometimes. So Cara's been back on email to say thanks for the message. No worries. I'll read you the rest. It was an amazing day and your message made it even better. Oh. However, after the wedding, we had to drive back from Inverness to Brighton, where we live. We had no radio signal in our van for the first 3 hours of our journey, so we had two options. Either play the CD you'd recorded of your message again and again. That's a long way to just play that, isn't it? Like, from Inverness to Brighton. Hello, Scott Mills here. Best of luck on your wedding day. For 3 hours. Two CDs. There was that one, or they had the Chris Moyles parody album with them. So now they both know all the words to all of Chris's songs. So that's beautiful. Maybe you should have thought ahead there and taken a couple more CDs. But I'm glad you like your message. It's 7:20, BBC Radio 1. Okay, so Posh Radio 4 Lady is on with the stuff that you want to say to us on Dear Scott. This is a simple thing to do. Just send me a little email. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. That's my email address. You will get on. Pretty much 99%, because, like, have you heard some of them?
Dear Scott, the one that doesn't speak, PR4L and Jabba the Hucks.
I'm not... OK, carry on.
All right, babes. I was listening to an old podcast the other day and heard Jabba the Hucks. I was wondering why this nickname for Becky hasn't stuck. I think it's a quality name and should be used a lot more in the show.
Yes, we have discussed this before, that Becky was sometimes called Jabba the Hucks at school because her name is Becky Huxtable. Now, she's not here at the moment to say whether she likes it or not, but I don't think it's a complimentary name, is it? I mean, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but let me know. I don't think that that's the best name that you could probably call her. What were the other things she was called at school? I think Huxley Pig was one of them. That's not the best either, is it? And when she first joined the show, we christened her Wacky Becky for about a week, but that didn't really stick because she couldn't maintain the wackiness. But anyway, Jabba the Hutt's probably a bad thing, I think.
Also, why do people still not understand high fives? It really vexes me. That is all. Lots of love. Hugh, off of Farming.
See, I think the high five, people are getting slightly better at it, but it depends on what phone you've got, because if you've got a fairly simple kind of old school phone, you can just literally go, if I go high five, you just go five, whereas on some phones now you have to go, oh, hang on, bring up keypad, press five. And I think the more complicated your phone is, the harder it is to just do a random five, and that's why some people are taking too long. Next.
Hi Scott, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, and the PR4L.
Hiya.
Today I was cutting some grass in a field and I saw three rabbits and a pheasant. And it got me thinking about what yours, Becky's, the one that doesn't speak's, and the PR4L's favourite animal is.
You see, like, anything you send in pretty much does get on, as I just said. Favourite animal? Mine is a camel. They scare me, but I quite like them. Gemma on the show, who's working on the show today, says bush baby. Got no idea what that is. And one that doesn't speak's favourite is an alpaca. There we are, now you know.
Love you. Will Palmer in Plymouth. P.S. Could all four of you say happy 18th birthday to my girlfriend, Georgie Brunning, for the Sunday just gone? I think that's enough for the one that doesn't speak to speak again. Thanks. High five. XXXX.
Happy birthday, Georgie. That is not a good enough reason for the one that doesn't speak to speak. But he does send his birthday wishes and love, don't you? And Gemma does. He works on the show today, don't you, Gemma?
Yeah.
Yeah. Becky's not here, so happy birthday, Georgie. Back to the camel thing. They are my favourite, despite I did have a run-in with a camel about 5 years ago. Have I mentioned this before? I was on holiday in a place where they have camels, and I was in the United Arab Emirates, and basically I was in the middle of nowhere driving this car. I really needed a wee, so I got out in the middle of this area, which is pretty much desert, and said to a man, excuse me, can you? Is there any toilets around here? He's like, yes, over there. So I walk up to the toilet, and in front of it, like seriously right in front of it, blocking the entrance, are three camels. Massive, massive camels with big faces. And I was desperate for a wee, but to get to the toilet, I had to get round three camels, and I didn't do it. I just waited to the rest of the journey because they scared me. Camels en masse looking at you up close are quite scary. Anyway, another interesting story from me there. But thanks for writing in.
Happy 18th birthday, Georgie. Winking smiley. And my favourite animal is an orangutan, I think, because they are ginger and funny. Two very fine qualities.
I might change mine to meerkat, actually, because they make me laugh a lot. Next!
Dear Scott, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, and the PR4L. Actually, this is really a bit of a secret note for Becky, so I hope Scott's not paying attention.
She's not here, so I am.
Becky, darling, can you help me? I'm currently working towards opening the world's first Scott Mills Museum. Believe it or not, no one seems to have thought about doing this before.
Yeah, I wonder why that could be. Right, carry on.
I was hoping you could help me out with exhibits, as so far they are a bit thin on the ground. I have a signed photo of Scott from a few years back, and lots of pictures off of the internet.
OK. Well, I am moving house very soon, so maybe I could help you out with some exhibits for the museum. Or you could have my old teeth. Now, that would be good.
I know I definitely want a Scott zone in the museum, a place where visitors can chillax on big white beanbags.
Love it.
And listen to all the podcasts ever posted on a continuous loop.
That's a good idea.
I have tried to obtain Scott memorabilia, but it seems to have all been snapped up. There was one thing I saw for sale on the internet, but to be honest, I don't believe that it's Scott's. And anyway, how would a fan be able to get that?
What was that for sale on the internet?
Ideally, I would like to open the museum in Scott's very own Southampton. But instead, it's going to be in, well, Derby.
OK. What I'm intrigued to know what it was that can't have been mine that was available on eBay. Could you write back and tell me that, please? So I can verify?
The best thing about this, Becky, is if you'll help me out, I'll definitely book you for the grand opening. I can't guarantee a fee like the loose women get, but I'll make sure you at least get a bag of chips and your bus fare home. Thanks so much for this, Becky. High five, love you loads. Andy Mack, Derby.
That's true. One of the loose women got, Jay McDonald, got $3,000 for opening a shop once. Okay, well, I'm willing to donate some stuff for the Scott Mills Museum. My old teeth would be good. Imagine it in like a glass case as you walked in. Imagine. Anything else you want to say? scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Becky's still not well today. However, if you did see her drinking cocktails in TGI Friday's Reading last night, let me know, as the lights dimmed and some wacky server people with badges that say I am four on them saying happy birthday. Love those servers. The one that didn't speak was in a restaurant the other day. And, you know, like when it's someone's birthday and it's one of those places where everybody in the restaurant is encouraged to go... happy birthday to... Now, you don't mind the first couple of three times. Do you ever join in, David?
No, I never join in.
Well, you should. That's really bad.
Well, it's not my mate's birthday, so...
No, but, like, there are times where they go, come on, everybody, and encourage the whole restaurant
to join
in.
Yeah, but you just feel really embarrassed.
You have to join in.
No. Tulip joins in, don't you, though?
I always join in. Yeah, right. I always stand up and clap and everything.
Rubbish.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't clap and stand up. I just kind of murmur it, like, happy birthday to whoever you are.
It always sort of touches me a bit. I just think, oh, how nice.
Yes, but this one, for the one that doesn't speak, he was in a Turkish restaurant, and it was someone's birthday, like, every 3 minutes. But so they kept doing happy birthday, but with a slightly Turkish twinge.
I went to a Turkish restaurant, and they met for my birthday, and they made me stand up on the table, knock back a shot of something... I think it might have been tequila, but something horrible. And then dance on the table for about 5 seconds before I was allowed back in my seat.
It's your average Friday night.
My lamb is Scander.
Wow, that's like one step on from TGI, isn't it? Because normally they do all the work around you and you just sit there looking embarrassed and going, oh, guys, who did this? Which one of you did this? I also went to a pizza place last night with my brother. And it's the same pizza place where if it's your birthday, they give you dough face. Have I told you about this before?
Dough face?
No.
Yeah. We didn't get dough face last night because obviously it was neither of our birthdays. But what happens is, let's say you go to the place, pizza place with a crowd of people. As you go in, you say, right, let's say it's your birthday, Tulip. Right, see that girl there? It's her birthday. So if you could do dough face on her. So you're all sat round. They order drinks and stuff.
Right.
Then halfway through the meal, when you're not suspecting anything, right, suddenly one of the Italian waiter people will come up behind you and put a pizza dough round your face and then wait and then kind of grab your arms and wave them up and down and then they go dough face, dough face, dough face, and then that's because your birthday, that's your treat. It's like a fresh pizza dough covering your whole face, and then two other waiters like wave your arms in the air.
That doesn't sound like that much of a treat.
Does it? Apparently it's great.
All right.
But yeah, no dough face for us last night. Also, I know, there's another place I went to on a retail park recently where, and we've talked about this before, there were about 25 happy birthdays in literally the space of, I must have been there like an hour. And it's the place where they play congratulations and celebration. Do you know the one?
Yeah, is there like a firework in the middle of a cake?
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's called Frankie and something.
Yeah, something to do with something ends,
yeah.
Ennies.
That, yeah, Frankie and Ennies or whatever it's called. Yeah. So, yeah. But Cliff Richard, congratulations, 25 times in an hour, does get tiresome. Podcast. Good morning. This is the Chris Moyle Show with Scott Mills. Hope you're okay. It's Friday, which is good news. And it's time for this. The best, the
best, the best, the best. What's occurring?
Reliving some of our favourite moments of Oh, What's Occurring? Stuart's on from Kettering. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, I did call you Patrick earlier. Were you awake to hear that?
I didn't, no.
I was like, and we'll speak to Patrick at 7:45. I don't know why you morphed into a Patrick. I've no idea.
No. Sorry about that.
You're just telling me you're finding the mornings a bit easier to cope with now?
Yeah, I'm getting better.
Yeah, what time are you up today?
About 10 past 7.
That's quite good for you.
Mhm. I like the long days now. I've got more hours to do stuff.
It is good, isn't it? When you get up early, I'm not a morning person at all, but you get loads of stuff done.
Mhm.
It's really good.
Better than like an 8-hour day. You get a 22-hour day or something stupid.
Well, that's rubbish because then you just sleep for 2 hours.
Yeah, well, I exaggerated a little bit. I just can't. Yeah.
Mm. So, if you've not met Stuart before, he is 16, he's from Kettering, and he's having a house party this weekend because his parents are away. How many people are coming?
I don't know yet.
All right, okay. Have you not sent out any proper invites, or is it just kind of a word-of-mouth thing?
No, I have invited the people that are coming, but I don't know who will actually come.
What we could do, Pete Tong style, if you want, is give out your address on air now and then see what happens.
Or we could not.
Or maybe not, yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah.
That's a no, is it?
Yeah, it's a no.
All right. What else is going on?
What else is going on? I am going to my grandparents today. Oh, and it was my gran's birthday yesterday, so maybe my gran is Becky.
Your gran is Becky?
Maybe.
What do you? Oh, I see. Right, because they share a birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Becky would be really pleased with that. How old's your gran?
16.
Oh, okay. Now, have you got some questions you want to ask me?
I have some questions.
Who are they from?
They are from my friend Nicole, who, at the weekend, bought a Mrs. John Barrowman T-shirt.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She does know, doesn't she?
I think she's in denial.
But she... You know that he's... Like, you know what I'm saying? He's, like, he is...
Yeah, I'm not sure she does.
I think he is definitely 100% gay.
I'm not sure she does.
She doesn't know. Well, tell her.
We've just told her. I think she's listening.
Oh, sorry to break it to you like that, love. Okay, what are the questions?
Okay, what is the minimum age for a perm?
What's the minimum age for a perm?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask Tulip. Tulip, what do you think?
Is it 13?
Minimum age for a perm, 13.
A perm?
Yeah.
Your hair?
Yeah.
I've seen 13-year-olds with nice perms.
Oh, who wants a perm when you're 30? Okay, well, so we're saying 13. Next question.
Okay. Will you come to the party this weekend, providing you can bring Matt Edmondson?
Why do you want Matt Edmondson there?
I don't know who Matt Edmondson is, but she wants Matt Edmondson.
Oh. Matt's probably listening now, because he's upstairs in the office, I think. He did the show before us today.
Oh, dear.
He's one of Radio 1's rising stars. He's very good.
Okay.
I don't know whether Matt's free this weekend.
He's not going to want to come now, is he?
Oh, actually, he's on air on Sunday morning, so he's not available.
Okay.
Next question.
What type of toothpaste do you use?
Aquafresh.
Aquafresh, sorted. Okay, should
right.
be happy now.
Happy yeah. with that?
Yeah.
All right, then. Let's get on with Oh, What's Occurring, then. Oh. The best, the best, the
best, the best of... Oh, What's Occurring?
It's the best of... Today you're up against Tulip Mazumdar off the news.
Hello.
Hello. I forgot to say yesterday that you have probably the best name I've ever heard.
Aw, thank you.
You have to have a good name to work in Newsbeat, though.
Yeah, you do.
Don't
Everyone's
you?
Got a good name.
You have to have a slightly exotic name. Is that not the rules for employment?
There's Chris Smith. That's not that exotic.
Oh, yeah. If you're a girl, you have to have a good name.
Yeah, the girls have interesting names.
So we've got Tulip Mazumdar, that is a good name.
Brandy's Alexander, which is named after a cocktail, apparently.
Brandy's, oh, that is exotic.
Yes. Who else do we have? Debbie Randall.
Not so exotic.
No, yeah, I'm not really proving the point here, am I? Hannah Morrison.
No. What about Chichi Azundu?
Sima Katecha.
Sima Katecha is a brilliant one.
Chichi Azundu.
Chichi Azundu is up there with Tulip Mazumdar.
I think Chichi Azundu sounds exactly the same as Tulip Mazumdar. It's got all the same syllables and the same sort of sound.
Yeah, no, they're both brilliant names. Anyway, let's play the game. First one, you might remember this one, Stuart, because you are a regular listener. Do you remember that Sophie Dahl cooking programme?
No.
Oh, I don't think they've recommissioned another series, but it was just Sophie using very long words when cooking food.
Uh-huh.
I think it was on BBC Two. So it's a simple question to both of you on the Sophie Dahl cooking show, which isn't on anymore. How many times did Sophie Dahl, whilst cooking something up in a flash kitchen, say melancholy? Tulip.
10 times.
10 times. And Stuart?
Just one episode or the whole series?
This is one episode.
15.
Okay. Let's find out. The best,
the best, the best, the best. Oh, What's Occurring?
Here is Sophie Dahl on her cooking show.
Indulge the melancholy. I very occasionally get melancholy. Trying to cure melancholy. Perhaps I was melancholic. That's melancholy. Melancholy. Hangovers and melancholy. 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 Melancholic. Melancholy. Melancholy. Melancholic. melancholic fried bread. Melancholy. 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 Slightly melancholic looking prawns. Melancholy. 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 The melancholy has lifted.
Now, I've never seen a melancholic prawn before, have you?
Oh, look at me, I'm a melancholic prawn with a sad face on.
She overuses the word so much that it just becomes stupid. A bit like yesterday on that one where it was I Dreamed a Dream with Susan Boyle. The word dream lost all meaning after like the 100th time.
Did she say anything else during this half an hour programme?
Slightly melancholic looking prawn.
Now, we were... she goes out with Jamie Cullum.
Yes, she does.
And we were discussing at the time whether she was talking about him.
Slightly melancholic looking prawn.
How many did you count there, Tulip?
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 28.
28. It's good that I'm getting one of the contestants to count, isn't it?
I'm very honest.
You are?
Yeah.
You're not cheating now, are you?
No.
Well, no, otherwise you'd say lower. Stuart gets the point. Well done, Stu.
Oh, what's the pity?
Stuart, what are you saying?
I said it was almost 1 minute.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I know. Oh, we found someone with a better name than you, Tulip.
Can't be true.
But
oh,
not
yes.
On Radio 1.
Oh.
Radio
yeah.
2. Fenella Fudge.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is a good newsreader name.
I sort of want to... Yeah, you want to have it for an after-dinner treat.
What, a Fenella Fudge?
Well, yeah, it sounds like a chocolate. That was my point.
It does. Okay, next one. You know, Becky is like the worst prank caller in the world. We know this. Well, a while ago, while the Olympics were on, she pretended to be Sebastian Coe, Lord Coe, off of the Olympics, and she called up Chappers, who used to work on the show. Simple question, how long could Becky, as Sebastian Coe, stay on the phone to Chappers for Stuart?
1 minute 30.
1 minute 30?
Mm-hmm.
Tulip?
1 minute 15.
Let's find out.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Here's Becky and her rubbish prank call.
Hi, please leave me a message and I'll get back to you. Bye.
Mark, Sebastian Coe here. I'll call you back. Like I said, Mark, did you get my message? I've been trying to get through to you all day.
Okay, so that was the answer phone. Let's try again.
Hello?
Mark?
Yes?
Sebastian Coe again. Did you get my message?
What?
Sebastian Coe here. Lord Coe. I am a lord.
Sebastian Coe?
Yes.
Wow. How are you, Sebastian? Are you running at the moment? You sound as though it's very difficult to talk.
I'm just out training. Anyway.
Oh, you're just training. What are you training for?
Just running. Anyway. Enough about me.
You see, you're very muffled. Are you running in a balaclava?
Yes, I get recognised. Anyway, just getting the plans together for 2012.
Right.
And we're thinking about putting some celebrities in for some events as well as the actual athletes.
Right. I've got a friend called Becky. She's very good at the tug of war.
Is she? Now, she might be able to help us out. But what we were mostly after was you and Dave for the Coxless Pairs.
Why? What, do you want me to row and Dave be the cox?
Yes, all the other way around.
Well, yeah, it said the coxless pair doesn't have a cock, so that's the whole point. That's not a coxless.
Well, I've got a lot to learn.
Are you really sure you know what you're doing with these Olympic Games, Seb? I've just got to go because I'm watching the cricket. All right.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Let me know if you're interested.
Thanks. Pass my regards on to Becky.
Okay, ciao.
She just doesn't get any better at them, does she, really?
I didn't think he'd tolerate her for that long,
to be
honest.
It was a long 1 minute 40. Stuart wins again.
The best, the best, the best, the best. Oh, what's the pity?
Next one. This was a favourite of a lot of people at the time. A TV show called The Farmer Wants a Wife. Have you seen that one, Stuart?
Yeah.
You've seen the show?
No, but I remember this.
Ah, okay. God, you do listen. So, there was a farmer on The Farmer Wants a Wife, and his name was Willie. It's a simple question. How many times did they say his name during the show A Farmer Wants a Wife? Let's go for Tulip first, because you're not winning at all.
36 times.
36?
50.
You're saying 50?
50.
50. Let's find out.
The best, the best, the best, the best.
Oh, what's the pity?
So, there's a farmer, his name's Willie, he's looking for love, and here he is on Farmer Wants a Wife.
If I make friends, I make friends, but I am out to get Willie.
All they can do now is wait for Willie.
But I can actually see me and Willie getting on.
Only two girls will be going home with Willie. It's a good opportunity for Willie to give the girls a taste of what's to come. Willie takes Sarah Jane for a ride.
Willie.
It's time for the girls to meet Willie's heavyweight love machine. Willie's entered one of his British blonde cows into a prestigious local cattle competition.
Could get a bit competitive towards Willie.
Willie has plenty of experience judging good bone structure.
I bet there are a few boys watching this that would like to be in Willie's wellies right now.
Gabby is starting to flirt with Willie.
Yeah, I'm definitely still interested in Willie.
Willie and Willie's Willie.
Willie, Willie.
Both would love to be with Willie.
Willie often artificially inseminates his cattle. Willie guides the straw along the birth canal. Sarah Jane caught Willie's eye. Gabby initially found it hard to turn the head of Farmer Willie. Willie, Willie, Willie's really made Willie sit up and take note. So too have her feelings for Willie. And Willie is keen to pull out all the stops to show Gabrielle his sensitive side. Willie. Will she ever see Willie again?
There we are. So that was one episode of Farmer Wants a Wife.
It's safe to say that Stuart won that one, I think.
It really is. So, Stuart, do you want to come back and play Oh, What's Occurring? Oh, no. See, we're in Edinburgh next week. We haven't even decided whether we're going to do it yet. Let me just Stuart,
yeah.
If you could just, sing to yourself for a minute now, and we'll just discuss, okay?
Go. Okay.
Just sing something.
No.
Oh, okay.
You don't
want to
hear me sing.
All right, give me a sec. Look, when we've made a decision, we'll call you, right?
All right, then.
Okay, we might never speak to you again, we might.
Oh, no.
No, I'm joking. But we'll give you a call one way or the other. We'll definitely get you on next week, but I just don't know what's going to happen, all right? It's all about planning in advance, this show.
Is it the normal slot, though?
4 till 7, yeah, in the afternoon. And we're from Edinburgh next week.
So we don't have to get up early or anything?
No, you have to come to Edinburgh every day and go back home.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. No, we'll call you next week anyway, all right?
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, good one. fives. Yes. And another one because it's Friday. Cheers then.
Radio 1 Wood Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Radio 1.
Lauren.
Hello.
You alright?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Now, you have got in touch because you have just moved in with your boyfriend, right?
I have, yeah.
Tell me what's going on.
Well, I love my boyfriend to pieces. He's absolutely excellent. Bit of a commitment fight, so I was really surprised when he asked me to move in.
Oh, so he asked you?
He did, yeah, which is really sweet. But I came in and I dumped all my stuff and I looked around and it's a real boy place. So I thought, yep, I'm going to sort this out gradually. I don't want to impose, but I'm just going to slowly, you know, bring in some florals and make it look a bit pretty.
So this is a proper lad's apartment he's got?
Yeah, I'm talking Man United pictures on the walls, you know, no colour schemes, just a random rug and not clean at all. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to really enjoy this. This is my project.
And you're like a proper girl who probably tidies all the time.
All the time. Everything has its place. Everything's always clean. So, yeah, I thought this is a great project for me.
So you're saying moving in with your boyfriend as a project?
Oh, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
And a nice moving in because he's absolutely lovely. But I just thought, yep, I'll sort him out. Just needs a little bit of a tweak to be perfect.
Okay, so what's not perfect about the flat at the moment?
Oh, God, I could just list things for you. First of all, he offered to do the washing up the other night, which is absolutely fine, but I have a system. He just puts them underneath the tap and puts them upside down on the side. Now, this is fine, but you can see all the finger marks, and it's just a little bit dirty. So I've been getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to do it secretly behind his back and put them back in. That's quite sad, isn't it?
So you're like, oh, that's really sweet of you to do the cleaning, yeah. But then stealthily getting out of bed and getting up at 2 a.m. and yeah. Doing a proper clean of the house.
Absolutely, because he boy tidies. He'll just move things from one place to another, and it's just, and he's really proud of himself, which is really sweet, but it's driving me insane.
What do you mean boy tidies? What's that?
So if there's a stack of books or DVDs, he will just take them in exactly the order that they are and just move them to another place in the room.
Oh, yeah, I do that. What's wrong with that?
Oh, it's got a place. Put it in the proper place.
Oh, God. Are you sure this is going to work out?
I really do, because yesterday he said to me, how would you like your DVDs ordered, alphabetically or by genre? Which I thought was quite sweet.
Do you think he's invited you to move in because he knows that you'll do this all the time?
Oh,
and he'll have a much tidier flat out of it?
No, he's done it because I'm amazing.
Oh, okay. Oh, of course, yeah. Anything else that makes you a bit angry?
Yeah, it's the football, and I don't mind the football bits because there's something to watch, but it's the cricket. What's cricket all about?
A lot of people like cricket.
Oh, it's on constantly. I just want to watch Four Weddings, America's Next Top Model, and just sit there and pick my nose and, you know, and just be myself. And I'm struggling to be the perfect girlfriend at the moment, and I don't know when is the time to kind of start bringing in my behaviour.
Your ways.
Yeah, my ways. When do I put a firm hand? You know, when
at the moment, you are the, like, bling, perfect girlfriend.
I am.
But you're not actually being yourself, are you?
I am, but I have to leave the room to do some stuff that I'm too frightened to do in front of him, if you know what I mean.
What? Like what?
Like fart and stuff.
Oh, right, it's that level. Right, well, you've not even farted in front of him yet. Oh, how long have you been living there?
A week.
Oh, it's only a week.
Yeah, so it's I'm just starting to think now. You know, I can't keep leaving the room, and I can't keep thinking of excuses to leave the room because he thinks I'm strange.
You are my absolute favourite, I have to say. But I quite like the idea that you actually just—he's got the football on or whatever. You're like, hang a sec, I'm just going out of the room, and you leave the living room, and then. And then come back in again.
But I'll go out and I'll say, oh, I'm just going to go get a book. I'm going to do some reading. I'm sick of doing that excuse because he thinks I really like books and stuff.
But you don't. You just want a big fart.
Yeah, exactly. Or a burp or something. And I can't hold it in because that's bad for you, my mum said.
Yeah, you shouldn't hold them in.
Exactly, that's what my mum said. But I can't forever keep going outside. I've put out so much rubbish as well. Like, I'll get the bin bags just to go outside and have a good fart and burp and stuff and...
Okay, here's the thing, Lauren, all right?
Yeah.
Tonight, what's your plans for tonight?
What's my plans for tonight? Staying in with my lovely boyfriend.
Well, there we are. Okay, so you're going to have a nice evening with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
What I want you to do, okay, at precisely 8:30 this evening, what will you be watching on TV at that point, do you know?
Probably cricket.
Cricket, okay. But you really will want it to be turning over to watch the celebrity edition of Four Weddings or something, won't you?
Definitely.
Okay, but
put MasterChef's on tonight.
It is, yeah, MasterChef. Okay, what I want you to do is put up with the cricket, okay?
Okay.
But at exactly 8:30, not that I'm sure you can be able to... Well, you'd be able to time it, kind of, within a few minutes. Just absolutely let rip.
What, fart or shout at him?
No. Tonight, it's been a week. That's what you do, okay? 8:30, or whenever you can manage it, tonight, but around that time, just do a massive... Just do that, all right?
Okay.
It'll really... Okay. And things will change from there. That's my advice.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
Can you let me know how it goes next week, please?
I really will do.
Okay.
Good luck.
Look, I am wishing you luck. And give me a high five. Press 5 on your phone. Love you.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
So Chris and the team are back on Monday on this show from 6:30 Monday morning. And next week we are going to be back on our normal show and we'll be in Edinburgh. We're going there at the weekend. I'm excited and terrified in equal measures. Do you know what? I've never drank so much chamomile tea. Never liked it before, but actually developing quite a taste for it now.
Is it still the first thing you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about before you go to bed?
Yes.
Do you dream about your lines?
Yes, forgetting them. So we're going there for a whole week at the Edinburgh Festival and we'll be on air from there every day, 4 till 7, when you go home next week. And then we will each do, each member of the team and Grimmy, we will each do a one-man show in the evening. We had various people from the papers there yesterday.
Did they scowl at you? Were they nice?
No, they were really nice. I just forgot some of my lines and messed up some of the jokes.
Not critically acclaimed, then?
No, yet. But as we did explain to them beforehand, you know when you have to set something up when you're not quite ready for it to be any good? Right. So this is just a rehearsal. Obviously, it will be a lot better than this when people see it in Edinburgh. So... anyway, just a rehearsal, so here we go.
Get your excuses in early.
Yeah, we were all doing all that. And also, Edith Bowman and Matt Edmondson, off the Radio 1, sat in the front row.
That won't put you off at all, will it?
Well, Matt was really tired because he's been doing earlies before this show, so he kept yawning, which is never a good sign. But he was doing that thing where you stifle, like... but you could still see he was doing it. Yeah. And Edith, bless her, was singing along with the songs when I was singing... Mamma Mia, she really joined in. No one else did. Anyway, so with that in mind, I guess there's only really one It's Only Bloody Friday we can do today. Westwood!
Yo, where am I?
Where are you?
Where is Westwood?
I don't know. You're trying to bring back the feature, I know.
Now, geographically speaking, I am many, many miles in a mileage way from you.
Ooh, okay, let me work it out.
And population speaking, I am in a place with a very small populace, except it's summertime, where it gets very full of... tourists.
Coventry.
Correct. I'm in Norwich.
Norwich is nowhere near Coventry. Hi, Westwood. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm good. I'm just in the post office.
What?
Eating sausages. In Rio de Janeiro.
Tell us where you really are, please.
I am in Iron Apple, my brother.
Iron Apple.
Oh, yes, man. You say Aya, I say Napa. Aya.
No, that's wrong.
I say Aya, you say Napa. I got that one wrong.
Yeah.
Oli, oli, oli.
Oi, oi, oi.
Correct. That's where I am right now. I say Aya, you say Napa. Aya.
Napa.
You're catching on fast.
Well, you got it wrong, not me. Hello, so I'm imagining you in Iron Apple right now in some kind of massive crib.
Yes.
P. Diddy style villa.
You must appreciate there has been BBC cutbacks.
Okay, so are you in a room with really hard beds?
Yes, sharing it.
Really?
Yes, with my producer.
Are you?
Yes.
Amazing.
amazing.
Wow. Now, last time I went to do a gig, which was in Greece, in Kavos, you gave me some really good advice about the place I was staying in, didn't you?
Yes, I have been. This Kavos party we've done ourselves, and the secret to the experience is that you request extra blankets, even though it is super hot out here. But you put the blankets on your bed, and then you put the sheets on top of your bed, because that bed is a rock.
Do you know what? I actually did that. After you gave me the advice, you actually took me aside one day, like, Scott, before you go to do the Kavos gig, right, the first thing you do, you order extra blankets. I'm like, but it's 40 degrees nearly. And you're like, no, no, no. And then you told me the secret, and it actually worked.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I never sleep in that hotel. It's so cheap.
So, Iron Appa, it's BBC Radio 1 Extra. It went off last night. Mr. Jam was on and Cameo. Live sets from all sorts of people, big mixes. And what's going on today? What's happening?
Right. Today, we are broadcasting from the side of the pool at my private villa to an invited guest of bikini-clad ladies, and we are ripping it down. We've got a barbecue going, we're going to throw on the Greek sausage, it's going to be a sausage party, we are going in, because I like sausages.
I do.
It is going to be tremendous out there, man. We've got guests coming through, we're playing hot music, we're catching the vibe of Iron Appa, and we are having a good time. It is going to be the hot show, we're looking forward to it. BBC Radio 1 Extra, we go in.
Okay.
Another sausage on that barbie, baby. We are going to have a good time today, because I'm not in the post office, I'm in Iron Appa.
Right, you've seriously lost the plot, but I'm enjoying it a lot.
Thank you very much, sir.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Hi, Nick Grimshaw.
Hi, Scott Mills.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Very well. Sorry I didn't come yesterday.
I was going, and coming up later, it'll be Grimmy. And then I was like, oh, I can't get hold of him.
Yeah, my mind doesn't really remember things. It doesn't really work like things. So someone told me on Monday, can't remember that till Thursday.
No, I mean, and also...
I need a reminder on Wednesday night, please.
And it's fair play. I mean, I can't say anything because, remember, you filled in for me when I didn't turn up for the RPATS interview.
Oh, yeah.
You see?
And I had to be sent off to do that, yeah. And so he hates me. So that was really awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But no, I got up and I was sort of... The weird thing was that I was up and awake. So I just sat downstairs and just ignoring my phone with like all the people ringing. And then my flatmate came in. She's like, oh, Scott Mills keeps saying you're on the radio. I was like, did you want to tell me? She's like, oh, I've been drying my hair.
All right, so she could have told you earlier and you might have been able to make it in,
yeah,
but
maybe.
She's drying her hair.
Yeah.
earlier, I posed this question. Who's this mystery duet? See if you can work out who the mystery duet is.
When you're down and troubled,
I might close my eyes.
And you need a helping. And nothing is going right.
We just found this when trawling through some old stuff the other day. Okay, so there's
no
the
idea
first
who that guy is.
Okay, you might get it from this.
If the sky above you grows dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind begins to blow.
Right.
No idea. That's like music when your mum and dad say, let's go for a drive.
Yeah, it really is. Unbelievably, it is Steve McFadden and Barbara Windsor.
Oh, wow.
It's Phil and
Peggy. Wow,
Phil
big
and Peggy
crew rolling
from,
deep.
From some random CD that we found ages ago.
Wow. Is there any more hits they did?
They did a whole album.
No.
Yes, they did. Yes, they really did.
Oh, my God.
Right, so we are in Edinburgh next week.
Yeah.
This show will be on between 4 and 7, and then Grimmy's from 10 o'clock at night, or from Edinburgh at the festival. When we agreed to this, it was a long way away, wasn't it?
It was a long way away, and it was one of those things that you thought, oh, it's going to be good, or someone's going to write this for me.
Yeah.
And those things never happened. It never got good, and no one's wrote it for me. But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it now, though. I've gone full circle, because initially I was like, yeah, this is going to be really good, and then the last 5 or 6 weeks I've hated it.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking I'm going to enjoy it.
Did
you see me on that rehearsal stage? I was like Liza Minnelli.
Were you?
Couldn't get me off there.
Were you loving it?
Loved it.
See, I was fine, and then yesterday some of the newspapers and stuff turned up, mm-hmm. and Edith Bowman and Matt Edmondson turned up, mm-hmm. sat at the front. Matt was yawning a lot, and he was tired. And I'm really scared now, really, really terrified. Uh-huh. We're each doing one-man shows in Edinburgh, so it is Becky and the one that doesn't speak. Now, we've worked out who's going to go on what night.
Okay.
Okay? So we'll do our show in the afternoon between 4 and 7. Yeah. Then there's going to be a little interval, and then we're going to do each of our shows. So Monday, the one that doesn't speak is going first.
Okay.
With his incredible one-man show.
I'm looking forward to this as he doesn't speak.
Mm.
So it's going to be quite a show, isn't it?
It's a big production.
Yeah.
Tuesday, if it's okay with you, you're on.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Remind us what you're doing on your one-man show.
I'm doing a lecture on everything that I hate. We did this the other day, and you know it's meant to be half an hour. It's an hour and 15 minutes.
What?
So I need to shave some off, which I've not even attempted to do yet. And it's Friday. Do that this week.
You don't even seem worried.
No, I am. Well, I just think worrying about it's no point, is there? Might as well just go on. If it's embarrassing, it's embarrassing.
Fair
My
point.
Whole life's embarrassing.
Wednesday, Becky's going to be doing her show, which is Becky Huxtable : Live and Loose. And then Thursday.
Is she ill?
Yeah, she is ill.
Is she not better?
Nah, I
reckon. What if she doesn't do Edinburgh? I reckon this is a lie.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I was going to do it.
I reckon she might just be at home, like trying to swat up on her lines, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
And then Thursday. Oh, good. It's me, so I'm last. Hooray.
Yay.
Hooray.
Oh, God, so you really can't enjoy that week in Edinburgh, can you?
No. So that's excellent news. So what we're going to do, if you listen to my show between 4 and 7 every day from Edinburgh, we will give you a location to get to in Edinburgh. You've got to be over 18. But if you can get to that place, first come, first served, and there really aren't that many tickets because it's a small, tiny, tiny venue, you can have a free pair of tickets because there's no way we'd make you pay for
no. them. No. Maybe like, yeah, we pay you, yeah. Not the other way around, yeah.
So listen from 4 on Monday, and then if you want to see the One That Doesn't Speak show, turn up in Edinburgh somewhere, we'll tell you where, get a ticket. Tuesday show, if you want to see Nick's show, then we'll turn up somewhere else. We'll sort it all out next week, but that's how you get the ticket, and we'll give you a free pair if you turn up in Edinburgh. Obviously, very few people will get to actually be there, but have no fear, we will be filming it for Radio 1 online so the world can watch.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And it's time for Nick Grimshaw on Truth or Dare. So I've got some people lined up who have all got stories about you. I had to do this the other day, it was awful, and I'm still not telling anybody what happened in South Africa.
I really want to know, can I know off air?
No, really not. So I've got some people lined up. They've all got stories about you.
Okay.
Now you choose whether you want them to reveal this story to the nation or whether you do the dare instead.
I feel like I'm having a panic attack. I feel genuinely scared.
Please don't.
Okay.
So it's Nick Grimshaw, Truth or Dare. I need another stab, frankly. That one's going to get old. all right, so here is the first person that has a story about you.
Okay.
Hello, Nick. It's your mum here. God. I've got a great story to tell about you and the little puddle we found outside the house next to my car.
So, it's your mum and a little puddle that we found outside the house next to the car.
I think this is really deceitful of my mother, by the way.
You don't know anything about this, obviously.
No, I don't. But I didn't know that my dad rang me this day. Like, why have you not been on Scott's show? Really annoyed. I was like, I don't know, because I was watching Kings of Queens and I forgot. He was like really angry, but this is why. I think we can truth this. I don't think this
truth
is too
it?
Bad.
Okay, all right. So,
is that my mum?
She is. Let's reveal the truth from Grimmy's mum.
We were going to the shops and I was going to buy you some sweets. And when I stepped out to put you in the car, there was a puddle of water there and you said, oh, yes, it's rained through the garage roof. So you got a telling off for this because I knew you'd weed. And I said to you, you've weed there and all up my car. And you said, no, I haven't. So I told him off because I was very annoyed at doing that. And then telling lies on top, threw him in the car, took him to the shops and purposely went into a particular shop where I deliberately walked past all the sweets, which were at head height for him, marched him to the counter. And when I looked round to pay for something else, he'd gone, called out his name, turned round, and there's Nick with his head stuck in all the sweets, the cola bottles, all the penny rubbish things. His mouth was bulging with all these sweets and his eyes were nearly popping out of his head.
And I shouted at him, Nick, and he turned round and his little fat face was bulging even more, and I nearly threw him out of the shop, and he couldn't speak for about 20 minutes because he had that much in his mouth, but I suppose that was a blessing, really. So he's not like that now. He doesn't eat any more sweets, and as far as I know, he doesn't weigh up cars.
Well, that's pleasing to know.
I did weigh against my car at Glastonbury.
Oh, so you still do?
Yeah. Yeah. Not on the paint. On a wheel.
Yeah. That one wasn't too bad, eh?
No, not too bad. But just mortifying hearing my mum on the radio.
So, one down. There's still two to go on Nick Grimshaw, Truth or Dare. Here is the next person who's got a story about you.
Hi, Grimmy. It's your flatmate, Gillian. Oh, I was just going to share with everyone what you used to make me do to your back.
So this is Gillian, your flatmate.
I hate Gillian.
Is this the same one that was drying her hair yesterday and forgot to tell you on the show?
Oh, my God.
Okay. It's your choice.
Well, I feel like maybe we could truth it because all I do is tell embarrassing stories about Gillian at radio at night time and she hates me for it. So that would be the nice
the fair
repayment.
Play,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so no. I can't remember which one it is. There are two weird things about my back.
Okay.
One's worse than the other.
Okay, good. We're learning more all the time. So, are you going to truth it?
Let's truth it.
Ooh, camp. Here is the truth from Grimmy's flatmate.
So, one day we were watching TV and you came up with the request of waxing your back. It's not the whole back, it's just a little weird square patch which grows in the middle of your back, and so you would lie down on the kitchen floor and I'd get out the waxing strips and wax that little hairy patch off. Oh, and I forgot to mention that in the kitchen where this took place there was a Zac Efron calendar hanging on the wall, which you put up, not me.
There's no shame in that.
Come on, what a man. That's over. I'll show it you actually. Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Okay, it works well for radio. But I don't have a hairy back, but I have like a strip, like a suggestion, but it goes across my back.
What?
I don't know why. Look.
Oh, yeah, there's just a tiny little bit.
So maybe Gillian gave it a recent wax, and that's why you can't see it. How weird.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, so we've got one more. So it's Truth or Dare with Grimmy. You're handling this quite well.
Did these get progressively worse?
I don't know. But my one, I was mortified at. Okay, here's the next person who's got something about you.
Hello, Grimble Gramble. It's Grania, a.k.a. Graves, your previous co-host and student radio breakfast show here. My embarrassing story comes from when you were a stats student at Liverpool Uni and you had a part-time job in a cool trainer shop in the town centre.
Okay, so it's your former co-host off of Student Radio.
I love Grania. Grania's like one of my friends that I met at uni and went to uni with, and we used to do a breakfast show together on Student Radio, which Alad never went to. and so I used to do it. But she used to claim all the glory. And I got a voicemail from her last night when I left the show, and I left her about one, and they had like quite a drunk message off her. And it made no sense. And she was like, listen, I'm sorry what I did to you with Scott Miles. Like, wasted. I was like, what is she talking about? She lost her mind.
Oh, it's all becoming clear now.
So, did she call me a fat student? Did she say that?
Hello, Grimble Gramble. It's Grania, a.k.a. Graves, your previous co-host and student radio breakfast show here. My embarrassing story comes from when you were a fat student.
Yeah, she did. I was fat, to be fair.
Oh.
Cider got the better of me. I feel like we should do it. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
If it's bad, I'm just leaving.
Okay, that's fine. You're free to leave if it's bad. Let's truth it.
On your first day, you'd gone to work with a bit of a cramp. But nonetheless, it was your first day and you're trying to make a good impression, so you soldiered on. So after a couple of hours, you return back quite unhappy. As it turns out, you've been helping some customers, selling some shoes and trying them on and everything, and you'd end up getting the shoes mixed up and ended up selling the wrong shoes to each customer. The manager who'd been watching was really angry and so sacked you immediately. So after consoling ourselves with one of our standard lunches, which consisted of a brie and cranberry sandwich, flapjack, pack of crisps and fizzy drink, the cramps Nick had been having all morning grew more and more annoying, And ever the drama queen, he rushed to the uni's walking centre, suspecting his appendix had burst. After a few prods and checks, the nurse finally concluded that he should try losing a few pounds and suggested he take a walk to loosen his bowels. Nice to see the Bikram yoga working for you now, then.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Oh, God, that was the worst day of my life. So I had to go home and tell everyone, my flatmates, that I'd been sacked and also that the doctor had told me to lose some weight. A doctor.
But you thought
a medical professional.
You thought your appendix had burst.
I think my appendix were about to burst. And she's like, oh, okay, lie down. She's like, start prodding my stomach. She's like, I think you're just a bit fat.
You're so, you're so similar. Like, are you a proper hypo? Like, would you?
Yes.
Like, are you, oh, my God, I've got something really awful.
Oh, my God, I'm going to die.
I do that also. Uh-huh. But you are remarkably unscathed after that. So Nick Grimshaw, truth or dare.
Thank
come
you.
On everyone, it's a hard thing to go through.
Yeah.
Make sure you listen to us from Edinburgh next week. We're on 4 till 7, and then Grimmy from 10 p.m. at night, and then our one man shows kind of in between those two radio shows.
Don't worry about those.
They'll be
fine.
See you later.
Cheers, Scott.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Hiya, Sarah.
Hello. Will you miss these early mornings, though, Scott?
I've actually really enjoyed it, but no.
Do you listen to Moyles' show?
Yeah.
Do you normally, are you normally up? I'm not testing whether you listen to Moyles, I'm testing what time.
Don't test me on particular features.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
But are you up in time? There's no reason for you to be up. If you're on at 4 till 7, you're award-winning, brilliant drive time show.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you really should be up at 7:15 in the morning anyway, is there, when they
to
do
fair,
do
I don't normally
Westwoods,
hear,
where are
I don't
where
hear that
I?
Often.
Because when he was talking about sausages and Norwich and the library earlier, you sounded really confused. It was like you thought he was drunk or something. You're like, get him off air.
Yeah, I was like, take him off. Bless Westwood earlier.
Yeah. You know what? He makes the best of a bad lot. You know that he's stuck in a tiny little, you know, a tiny little hotel room.
I think people with Westwood imagine, because he's like, you know, rolling with the hip-hop, I think they imagine him to be, you know, like in some kind of MTV Crib-style P. Diddy villa, when you and I both know that he is on a rock-hard bed with no air conditioning in 45-degree heat, trying to open the window to get some air.
And then, it, one of them where you open the curtains and there's no window behind it, just wall.
Yeah, that.
And it would be like, ah, polyester everywhere. And people listen, be like, well, it's still better than my job. I don't know.
Yeah.
You've not seen these rooms. Bless him.
Yeah, I know.
He has one of those cars as well, you know, with a sort of bounce when you sit in them at the lights, like Miami sort of soft-top cars and stuff. And he wanted on it. It had been picked up with a higher car, some sort of Hyundai.
Yeah, it would have been a Fiat Uno from the airport in Ayanapa.
Chinkachenko.
Yeah, it would have been. Anyway, you all right?
I'm very good, thank you, sweetheart. How was it yesterday?
It was the first proper performance using the Sarah Cox mask yesterday in the one-man show.
Okay.
It's a bit small.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, here's the thing.
What, the size of the face?
It's because the rest of the masks in my one-man show, they're just face, you see. But because your hair is so long, the hair is down here.
Well, it's full. There's a lot of volume.
Yeah, there's volume. But so this is how big the heads are, really. That's Zane's head, about that big. But then your face is tiny, and then your hair is just hair, all the rest of it.
Oh, no.
So you've got a much smaller face than the rest of the masks.
And that's weird, because my face in real life is massive.
No, it's
you
not.
You should have just used it.
Try having a moon face. Hello. Moon.
Yeah, try going for a new riding hat every couple of years and the man having to go through to the back and go, "Hi, up, Len. We've not got one that fits, but I'll dust this one off and see if this'll fit." And comes out with the biggest riding hat you've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, that could, like, it could fit over a smart car. And it used to put it on my little 7-year-old massive forehead and they'd be like, "By heck, it fits. She's got a massive head." And my dad would be like, "Aye, she has."
Well, you'll be pleased to know that your head is incredibly small in the show.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
I might use it for everyday life.
You can have it afterwards if you want.
Now, how did it go? I just heard one quote from the one who doesn't speak that says he could just see lots of confused faces. Now, is that what you want in a comedy show?
No, but the thing is, when you're rehearsing every day, you forget that it's quite weird. So I'm Jason Bjorn, a CIA assassin who likes the music of ABBA. That's quite weird in itself. Okay. And then you've got the one that doesn't speak here and Rob the Boss, dressed in black, wearing various masks of Radio 1 DJs. That, when you're doing it every day, it doesn't seem weird anymore. But when people arrived yesterday, various members of the press and team from Radio 1, they were all just going, What is this?
And press are quite cynical as well. They're not, at least when you're in front of a proper audience, you guys that are going to be up in Edinburgh watching and go along and support Scott, at least they might be drunk.
Yeah, but that's
maybe
fine.
That could, yeah.
That'll let's help.
Keep fingers crossed that they are inebriated in some way.
Yeah.
Can you not pump some kind of gas into a venue, or is that illegal?
Well, like they do in supermarkets, the smell of freshly baked bread.
Just put the smell of gin in there and they'll start to relax a bit and think everything's funny.
A gin machine. whatever it takes, really. I'm sure the audience will be much more forgiving than the media crowd that came in yesterday, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's the toughest crowd. It's plain sailing all the way.
I've also decided I need to get a new suit because the Jason Bjorn outfit is not working for me. One, VPL or
Oh no, really?
There I am in black boxers yesterday. It's a white suit.
You had bad pants on, didn't you? I saw it on Twitter.
Really bad pants. And they could see Edith.
No,
Edith Bowman was like, "Oh, you've got quite a cute butt." I was like, "Yeah, if you stop looking at that, please." But yeah, you couldn't.
She heckling from the front.
Yeah, she was. She was, and yeah, and so the VPL is a problem. Also, it's polyester. Now, in the rehearsal room, it's boiling anyway. By the end of the performance, I'm dripping.
Yeah, you're going to look like you've done a spin class. You're going to get one of those bits.
It looked like I'd just done some Bikram yoga or something. So I'm going to review that, and I'm going to buy a new one today. Where do you get an ABBA costume from? Lastminute.com.
I don't know this one.
I tell you what, it's just a bit cheap, the one that I've got on at the moment. During the rehearsals, it's not of a quality that I need for the main show.
Look, you're a performer, demand one. I bet Jason Manford isn't in polyester and he's playing Edinburgh,
is he?
Yeah, you know what I mean, you want some proper threads.
I bet Gareth Gates, when he's doing like Joseph in the West End, I bet he doesn't wear a 20 quid one from a fancy dress shop, does he?
Crumpled under crackers showing underneath his coat.
I bet when Jason Donovan was in Priscilla, I bet his wasn't a tenor job, was it, from the local
Oxfam? No, that was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's lovely to see you in the mornings.
Thanks, my darling. Enjoy Edinburgh. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Can't wait. Well, so is it actually this weekend? No, next weekend.
My show is next Thursday in the evening.
Right, OK.
But I'll speak to you on the phone and stuff.
Hopefully. And then can we watch it all online and all that all the last time? Wow, it's exciting.
Yeah. The whole thing will be online. The thing is, I'm not even that scared about, because only about 60 people can fit in the venue. I'm just worried about the thousands of people can watch it afterwards on the internet. That's my problem.
Radio 1 Podcast.
That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.